You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
Well, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. Put up your hand if you love Christmas. Yes, I love Christmas, but I often have to look at my own heart and wonder, why do I love Christmas? Why do I love Christmas? Do I love Christmas because it's a sentimental time of year? Because I like the beautiful lights on the tree? I love the Christmas tree. You enjoy receiving gifts, giving gifts. You enjoy gathering together for family gatherings. You enjoy time off of work. You enjoy the season. Nothing wrong with all of these things, but why do we really love Christmas so much? You know, in a few short hours even, in the next couple days, many of us are going to be exchanging gifts with one another, and some of us are going to have in our hands things that we've always wanted. You get that gift that you've always wanted. Some of us will receive in our hands things that we didn't really think we needed. Christmas is not really about those kind of gifts. But Christmas is about a gift. Make no mistake about this morning. Christmas is about a gift. It's not about the kind of gift that you buy from a store or order online. It is about a much more profound and precious gift. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about that gift. It is, in fact, a gift of hope that is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to take your Bibles with me and go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you today. You can take it home and read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this is what the prophet Isaiah writes. He says, he proclaims, he announces prophetically this. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want you to understand that these words that Isaiah announced hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ are a prophetic announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel had been hopeless, had been oppressed, had been exiled, looking for a Savior, looking for someone who would rescue them, looking for a deliverer. And the prophets of old announced, here specifically, the prophet Isaiah announced the hope of the people of Israel. But I want you to understand this. Not just the hope for the people of ancient Israel, but what the prophet Isaiah announces here, again, hundreds of years before the very first Christmas, he announces the hope of all the world. Because the world, in case you haven't noticed, is in desperate need of hope. I don't know if you've noticed it. It's not hard to look very far to see that the world is in desperate need of hope. Let me bring it down and make it even more applicable for us. Every single person in this room, whether we realize it or not, whether we've been going to church all our lives or whether this is our first time in church, is in need of a practical knowledge of hope for our lives today. So I have a few things to share with you. I'm going to start with this. Now, Christmas is about a gift. What's the gift? It's the gift of hope. Specifically, I want you to notice this. This hope is a hope that is personal, okay? This hope is a hope that is personal. I want you to understand a little bit more of the context of the book of Isaiah. The main theme of the book of Isaiah is salvation. It's deliverance. This is the context that Isaiah speaks these words in. In chapter 1 to 39, it shows us, the book of Isaiah 1 to 39 shows us humanity's desperate need to be saved and delivered. And then in chapters 40 to 66, it shows us God's gracious provision of that salvation. Now, this hope is not, as I said, just a hope that is announced to the people of Israel. It is a hope that is to be announced for you and for me and to all who would hear. It's a very personal hope. This prophecy in the book of Isaiah, it means everything to us because, as I said, ancient Israel is not the only nation that needed hope. The history books are laden with examples that show us the world's desperate need for hope, and that through the person of Jesus Christ comes to us a very personal hope. The world we live in is broken. The world we live in is broken because people that fill the world are broken. This is not good news for us, but it highlights for us the need that Jesus comes to fulfill. The world is broken because people are broken, because sin has entered the world and separated people from what they were designed for, which is a relationship, a unified relationship with God, the Creator. But God is holy and God is just, and when sin entered the world, this reality that exists within us that separates us from God, when sin entered the world, what that means is we fall short of God's perfect standards every single time. No one is perfect. When sin entered the world, it created a chasm, it created a gap, it created a situation, a terrible situation for every single human who would ever walk on the face of the earth. Human beings find themselves in a terrible, devastating situation. Why are there wars? Why is there devastation? Why is there ruin? Why are there sicknesses? Why is there cancer? Why are people dying? Why is there death in the first place? The answer: because sin entered the world and defiled the human heart and separated human beings from their Creator. Israel's not the only nation that needs the hope of a Messiah. The whole world needs the hope of a Messiah, needs the hope of a Savior, needs the hope of a Deliverer. And what I want you to understand today in the words of Isaiah is that this hope comes to you and me on Christmas in the person of Jesus Christ. This is what it means to celebrate Christmas, that we recognize our desperate need for a Savior, and we find in Jesus that Savior. Notice verse 9. Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born." To us a child is born. To who? To who? To you and to me, to the world. Now, Jesus Christ wasn't born to institute legalism and religiosity. You walk into a lot of churches these days and that's what you find: legalism and religiosity, and a far cry from what Jesus came for. Jesus came to offer a very personal hope, a very personal relationship. Jesus came to reconcile lost humans to himself. This is the gift that is being extended to us today. It's a gift of hope. It's a gift of hope that teaches us, that reinforces for us, that encourages us, that all who would put their arms around this gift, all who would receive this gift, would not die forever, but would live eternally with him. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of hope, I want you to understand, it's a very personal gift. And whether you think you need it or not, there's an extended offer to you today, every single one, of this hope, of a relationship with God. The gift of hope is a hope that is personal. Secondly, I want you to write this down, it's a hope that is supernatural.
Notice verse 9, Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now, there's something really important here that I don't want you to miss. When Isaiah says, "To us a child is born," he's speaking of the humanity of Jesus Christ. He came to us as a child. But when he says, "To us a son is given," he's speaking of Jesus' deity. So what we have here in Isaiah 9:6 is actually something very profound and supernatural. What Isaiah is announcing cannot be overstated. The birth of Jesus Christ was nothing short of a supernatural miracle. It's a miracle that theologians call the miracle of the incarnation, that God the Son, Jesus Christ, who existed eternally in pre-incarnate glory within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, took on flesh, put on flesh, and dwelt among us as the God-man. 100% God and 100% man. The gift of hope is a very personal gift, but you need to understand it's a very supernatural gift. Why does this matter for us today? Why is this theology so important for us today? Well, it matters because when we talk about Christmas, when we talk about the reason for the season, we should never make the mistake of thinking that Jesus was just a small, cute little baby in a manger. He was that. He did take on the form of a baby, but you have to understand the supernatural nature of Christmas and the supernatural miraculous nature of the incarnation. While he was there in the manger as a little helpless baby, at the very same time, we've already sung about this, just think about it. At the very same time as he is there as a helpless baby, he is, Hebrews says, sustaining the universe by the word of his power. You say, that doesn't make sense. Some of you say, that's not logical. Some of you say, well, I'm not sure how that works. It doesn't seem to make sense. I say to you, exactly. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. And this gift of hope comes to us as a supernatural hope. It comes to us as a supernatural hope to do a supernatural thing in our hearts. Who would have dreamed or ever foreseen that we could hold God in our hands? This is what Christmas is. And it's miraculous. So let's just be very honest this morning about our need, our deep desire, even our pursuits for a real hope. See, there's so many people in this room today that have been putting your trust in so many things, and you're always coming up short. You're putting your hope in so many things that if you look at your life, you just when you think that thing has come into your life and there's all your hopes fulfilled, your hopes come crashing down because you weren't designed to be fulfilled by any natural thing, but by a supernatural, miraculous abiding of the Lord Jesus inside of you. You were designed to have all of your hopes fulfilled in the supernatural miracle of Jesus Christ. You are designed to find all your heart has ever longed for or desired in that baby in the manger by putting your trust in him and finding the salvation and the deliverance you and I need. Deliverance from the idols of this world that, by the way, this Christmas season, they're calling our names. New technology, new clothing, new gadgets, new furniture, new stuff that we want to put our hope in, that we tend to try to put our hope in. But listen, it always disappoints you, doesn't it? You know what it's like.
We all know what it's like. Listen, it's not just for the little children unwrapping their gifts. Every adult in this room, you know what it's like. Someone is going to hand you a gift, and you're excited to get that gift. And you open the gift, and you go, it's what I've always wanted. And you love it for 2 days or 3 days or a week or even a month. But then you need something else because that thing is no longer doing it for you. Because we were never designed to have our hopes placed and fulfilled in natural things and temporal things. Instead, why don't you look up and find the supernatural gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to meet the deepest longings of your heart, who comes to satisfy the deepest yearnings and hungering and thirsting of your heart. It's a personal gift. It's a supernatural gift. Thirdly, I want you to write this down. The gift of hope, it's hope that is personal, it's hope that is supernatural. Thirdly, it's this now, it's hope that is incomprehensible. As you notice, verse 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Watch this now. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The word wonderful here, it's the same word used in Judges 13, 18, and it's translated beyond comprehension. What is that thing you've always wanted? And if you just get your arms around that thing, then you find your heart to be satisfied. Now think about what that temporal, natural thing is and realize right now that won't do anything for you. That won't sustain satisfaction in your heart. But what we're being taught about here is someone who will sustain the satisfaction of your heart. He is called Wonderful Counselor. Now just take a moment to think about the incomprehensible nature of what Jesus Christ came to do. Just think about how incomprehensible, how supernatural, how wonderful it is that Jesus came to us. How can we truly comprehend, listen, that an infinite God would come to us in finite flesh? It's wonderful. It's incomprehensible. How can we truly comprehend that an exalted creator would condescend to a lowly manger? No ruler does that. No king does that. It's incomprehensible. How can we truly comprehend that an indestructible God would be born to be crushed so that you and I would not have to be crushed for our sins? It's incomprehensible. His name is wonderful. His finished work on the cross is incomprehensible and supernatural. But he's not only a wonderful, incomprehensible, Isaiah says he's a counselor. Catch this hope now. That in the midst of the pain, confusion, heartache, and perplexing questions of life, Jesus comes as the wisest counselor. He comes possessing infinite wisdom, ready to apply hope to every situation of life. So, I've been a pastor for a number of years now. It doesn't take you very long in the ministry to realize that people have questions. People have perplexing questions. People need answers. People need counsel. Sometimes we're with people who don't know what to do. Legit, when I tell you they don't know what to do, like they don't know what to do, they're going to just, they just don't know what to do. Maybe you're here right now and that's your situation. You have questions. You need answers. You don't know what to do. Well, I want to help you today.
I want to show you two keys to receiving the counsel that you need today. The answers that you need today. I want you to write this down. You and I need counsel and answers this season. Number one, stop looking in. Start looking up. Stop looking in. Start looking up. You don't know what to do. Listen, the world is shouting at you. The answers are within you. That's what the world around you is saying. The world's saying the answers are within you. The world is saying to you, channel your inner power. That's what the world is saying to you. And you're trying to do that. You're trying to look within. You're meditating. You're trying to find answers inside of you. But you don't have the answers you need because, listen, the answers are not in you. The answers are in the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. The answers you need. You say, what do you mean? What does Jesus have to do with my situation? He has everything to do with your situation. Because as you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you would lay down the pursuit of things that never satisfy. You would stop looking within because the answers are not there. You would start looking up. What you would find is that with your eyes on the God of the universe, at your disposal comes the answers to every question that you may have in your life. So stop looking in. Start looking up. Secondly, if you're looking for answers, stop looking around and start looking up. Now, the reality is some of us are not looking in. Some of us will say, well, it's not rocket science, Jason. I know that I don't have all the answers. I'm not looking in. Some of us aren't looking in, but some of us are looking around. Some of us are looking around. You're putting your hope in other things. You're putting your trust in other things. You're trying to find answers. You're perplexed. Why am I not fulfilled in my life? And this is for every one of us. This is for the people that have been Christians for many years, and this is for people that maybe it's your first time in church. We have this propensity. The old hymn writer says that we are prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. Well, stop looking around. Some of us are looking around, and one of the most devastating things we could do in our lives is to place all of our hope in people around us. Put all your hope in your spouse. Some of you are doing that. I'm just going to wrap up my identity in my spouse. Well, listen, your spouse is not perfect, and when they fail you, all of your hopes come crashing down. Okay, I put all my hopes in my children. I love my children, put all my hope in my children. Well, don't do that either because, listen, when your children disappoint you, all your hopes come crashing down. Okay, fine, I just put my hopes in the things I can control. My career, I'm going to put my hopes in my career. Well, don't do that either because, listen, you can't really control your career. You get laid off and all your hopes come crashing down. Some of us in this room need answers. And we're frantically trying to find the answers in other things. Stop looking around. And start looking up to the supernatural hope, who is also the incomprehensible hope. He comes to us with all that our hearts have ever dreamed of or longed for. On the screen, it was Corrie Ten Boom who said this. I found this so encouraging. If you look at the world, you'll get distressed. If you look within, you'll get depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. So many of us need rest. And for all the talk of Christmas and festivities and the joys and the family gatherings and all the stuff we love, the reality is there's so much stress. There's so much burden. There's so much instability. People in the room don't have family to go to, maybe. Some in the room will find themselves alone in the next few days. Look to Christ. In Christ is hope.
In Christ is a hope that is personal, to be given to you personally. In Christ is hope that is supernatural. He wants to do a supernatural thing in your heart. In Christ is a hope that is incomprehensible. He's a wonderful counselor. Could it be that you've been looking around, placing your trust in other people? The hope you need is not found in any other place than in the baby in the manger. So the gift of hope, that's what Christmas is about. It's the hope that is personal and supernatural and incomprehensible. Last thing is this. Gift of hope. I want you to write this down. It's a hope that is powerful. It is powerful. Verse 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Here it is now. Three more names. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In a moment, we're going to be finished here. We're going to go about our Christmas routines, but all of us need to be confronted with this. This is what it all boils down to. Today, we're confronted with a matter of worship, with a matter of trust, with a matter of hope. You'll have to face this reality. Where am I going to place all of my trust? Is it in the temporal and powerless things of this world? Or is it in the powerful, almighty person of Jesus Christ? There is no greater power. He is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These final three names given to Jesus by Isaiah are all centered on his power, and the hope Jesus Christ offers us today is infinitely more powerful than any other power of this world. So three things, write this down really quickly. No greater power can come to your life today, this Christmas season, apart from the hope of Jesus Christ. Number one, he is the true and living God. Okay? You can't get more powerful, you can't get more profound, you can't get stronger than God himself. And yet we settle for so many other things, but Isaiah says that he is the mighty God. The number one reason we all need to reorient our trust towards Christ is because he is God. What are we doing searching amongst all these far lesser powerless things? What are we doing wading through these shallow waters of stuff that we think will meet our needs and satisfy our lives when we have the ocean of God's power to dive into? He is a mighty God, and you will have life, and you will have joy. And you will have freedom as you put your hope in this mighty God. While he is mighty and transcendent, he is near and imminent to you today. He is the true and living God. Secondly, he provides true and loving security. He is called Mighty God, here it is now, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father speaks of his kingship and his loving protection, his fatherly benevolence. This is the kind of king Jesus is, not an oppressor, but a loving, caring king who wants to secure you within safe walls. And here's the deal, some of us feel very insecure these days. Some of us feel very unprotected these days for whatever reason. Some of us have never known the protection of an earthly father the way it needed to be known. But Jesus is born to give us hope as the living God, but also as the provider of security for you. And not just security in this life, but ultimately and more significantly, security in the life to come. That's what really matters. What have you done with this reality of eternity? And how are you living in light of eternity? Jesus Christ is born, And you need to understand, he's born so that he would live a perfect life in our place to represent us before God, ultimately to die on a cross as our representative. We are sinners. We're stained with sin. Our sin separates us from God. If left undealt with, we go to hell, an eternity separated from God. Jesus comes to represent us, to pay the penalty for our sin, because there's a wage that needs to be paid. He represents us on the cross. He dies for our sin. He wipes away every stain, raises us to life through his resurrection. For all who would put our faith and trust in him, we will find true security. Some of you hunting for job security, don't worry about job security. Don't worry, like that's you need that, but don't worry about, you need eternal security. Some of us were trying to find a home that's going to be secure for us. We need to find a better house. We need to find a better home with more secure. My neighborhood's wrong. Don't worry about that. Worry about eternal security. Some of us are trying to protect our children. That's all good. What about eternal security for them? Jesus is born. Provides true, loving security. Final thing. It's not only the true and living God. Provides true and loving security. Lastly, he offers true and lasting peace. True and lasting peace. And oh, this is where so many of us are hungry. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace speaks of the reality of what Jesus came to accomplish, that through his birth and death and resurrection, Jesus Christ is reconciling lost and estranged people back to himself. He reconciles people back to himself, places them in his kingdom so that they are no longer hostile towards God, but they are made friends with God. They are at peace with God. And until you are at peace with God, you're not going to know peace anywhere else. And this is the reality. Until you know peace with God, you will not have peace anywhere else. And Jesus comes to settle and to offer terms of peace for all who would put their faith and trust in this Prince of Peace. He will wash away all of your sins, secure for you your eternal destiny, and you will be at peace with God. He will come and live inside of you, and you will live for him, and you will know true peace. Question. Do you need peace today? Do you need peace today? If you need peace today, it's not found in better relationships. You'll get glimpses of that. It's not found in just, as long as me and my wife can get along, then we'll finally have peace. It's not the peace you really need. The peace you and I need so desperately is peace with God. And some of us today, we are hostile towards God because our sin has been left undealt with. And today we're confronted. Now here's this beautiful Savior. To us a child is born, a son is given. He's going to be a ruler. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you need to be at peace with God today, if you need forgiveness of your sins, if you need to know that your destiny is secured in heaven, then you just need to do two things. You just need to acknowledge that you're a sinner needing a Savior. That's it. Acknowledge it. I'm a sinner. And then turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus. That's all you got to do. See, these pursuits are not going to help me anymore. The pursuit of sin, the pursuit of my flesh, the self-indulgence, I'm going to put that to the side. I'm going to turn away from that, and I'm going to trust in Jesus to save me. He will do that. He will do that. There's a beautiful hymn that I'm going to read to you, just one verse as we close. It's one verse from the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. I pray that this is the kind of moment someone has in this room today. It says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, listen, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now for a moment of prayer. I don't want you to move around, because this is maybe a moment that will be a moment of life change for someone in the room. How silently the wondrous gift is given, God imparts to human hearts his blessings of heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. If you know that you are a sinner needing a Savior today, you know that you're not perfect, you fall short, then right now is a moment to say, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. I turn away and I put my trust in you. Forgive me for hoping in things that don't matter, that can't satisfy me. I put my hope in you today to save me. In fact, let's pray that together. Lord Jesus, I pray for every single person in this room right now. Every heart that is here and sat under the sound of these words, I pray if there's even one in this room that they don't know where they're going to be when they pass from this life to the next, that they would realize the empty pursuits of this world and they would put their faith and trust in you, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. May your kingdom rule and advance in the hearts of people, even in this room, this Christmas. We pray. In Jesus' name we pray.